Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We are going to, I hate doing this to you. I know some of you haven't read this much Bible in a long time. But we're going to read the first 13 verses together, and we're going to read these responsively. I'll read the first verse, you join me on the second, and we'll alternate throughout the passage this way. But there is a reason for it tonight, and I want to help you. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet them. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. And let's pray. Father, we need you. And Lord, for the next 38, 40 minutes, I pray that we would listen with an open mind, an open heart, and allow the Word of God and allow, please, this, your voice, to speak clearly. Lord, I don't want to say anything in my flesh. I'd rather shut my Bible, walk out these doors, and never come back if that's the way it's got to be. I pray that you just fill me with your power. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does best. Let me step back and just be a voice for you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here we have a very interesting story in the Bible. It is the story of 10 virgins. And you may have heard 10 virgins ready to marry. And they were awaiting the bridegroom. And this is a true part of the story. The trouble is, the Bible says, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. There were 5 that had their lamps filled with oil, trimmed, ready to make the journey with the bridegroom. There were 5 that had just let their lamps burn out, weren't ready for what was about to take place. And the bridegroom came, the cry came, the Bible says, that the bridegroom was coming. And the 5 wise were ready, but the 5 foolish said, Hey, we're not ready. Can we take some of your oil and put it into our lamps so that we can go? They said, Uh-uh. If we do that, none of us are going to make it. And they said, Go buy your own. We're going. They took off. 5 went to go buy oil. 5 went to meet the bridegroom. The 5 that went and met the bridegroom, he took them in, closed the door, locked the door. The others caught up eventually, and they knocked on the door, and he said, Too late, girls. I don't even know who you are. Now, wait a minute. Let me give you, and I'm going to make a statement here. Let me give you my opinion, and I'll show you why in a moment. I don't believe this is necessarily a passage on salvation. I believe it's a passage on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because it says, Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. These 10 virgins, I believe, are, and I hate using pictures and types, but I'll show you where I'm headed here in a moment, but I believe they represent churches, Christians. I really do. You see, we are to be ready when Jesus comes back. We're supposed to be ready to go meet the bridegroom. Is not the called out church of God called the bride of Christ? Now, I don't believe we make up the universal church. There is no such thing as a universal church. There's no such thing as an invisible church. Okay? Invisible churches don't exist. Just like ghosts don't exist. All right? There's no such thing in the scripture as an invisible church. Mr. Schofield's wrong in his Bible when he says that. That's denominationalism. That's Catholicism. It's not biblical. Okay? Now hang on here. I believe this passage represents about the truth, about half the people that think they're going are and half aren't. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm not here to make anybody doubt your salvation. I believe our church has a higher percentage than that, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here. But I tell you this, about half the churches aren't going to make it, that's for sure. That's for sure. Revelation 1:20, the Bible says that it talks about a passage, and I want to read a verse to you in Revelation chapter 1. The Bible says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Candlestick and a lamp are awful close, are they not? I personally believe, if you disagree with me on this, you have the right to, and I will tell you, I agree with you, that you have the right to disagree with me, and I would not argue over it, not that long. But probably this passage, in my opinion, represents churches. You have 10 churches represented. Half have their lamps on fire, lighted, ready to go. The other half, they've let them burn out. Matter of fact, God said in the book of Revelation, either you obey me or I'm going to take your lamp out. I'm going to blow it out. Now, I didn't say that. God did. Everybody doing okay? He said he would remove our candlestick because when Jesus, the bridegroom, comes back, it's only those that have their lamps burning and ready that are going. Now, when the call came for the bridegroom, there were those that had no oil cried. Bible says at midnight there was a cry because they weren't ready. May I say this? There were good people. I don't think these 10 virgins, the 5 that were foolish, were bad people. I think they were good people. But they weren't saved. They weren't ready to meet Christ. It was too late. They had missed the bridegroom. The cries over all the world will be horrible when Christ comes back. I know Hollywood's tried to portray, they've got all kinds of stupid movies. And by the way, anything that Hollywood puts out about the Bible, I can promise you, it's not worth watching. Godless people trying to represent the Word of God cannot interpret Scripture appropriately. Unsaved, unspiritual people cannot take that book and represent it the right way. I promise you. But I will tell you this. No matter how good they represent it, it's going to be far worse. Far worse. Now, let me pivot. My title tonight is this. It's almost midnight. It's almost midnight. America and this world are approaching the midnight hour. May I say this as boldly and as kindly as I know how? You better be ready for the Lord to return. He's coming back. And it's closer than it's ever been. I'm not a gloom and doom person. Anybody that knows me knows that's true. But I do know it's closer than it's ever been because he hadn't come back yet. And each day is one day closer. Now, listen to me. I'm not going to go through the prophecies of Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets in the Old Testament and show you prophets and prophecy and how it's being fulfilled. And I'm not going through the alignment of the nations. I'm not going to go through any of that kind of stuff, though we could take time and do that. I don't think it's going to help anybody. We already know the Lord's coming back. I saw a billboard one day, and I don't read many billboards, but for some reason one of my kids said, "Dad, look." And I looked over and it said, "Jesus is coming, and boy, is he mad." I thought, that's pretty good. I kind of like that. I am not making any predictions. Did you hear that? I am not putting a date. I'm not putting a timeline. You say, why? Because that's foolishness according to Scripture. But I will tell you this. I'm just here to show you, I know we're at the midnight hour. I'm going to use what's going on in our world. I'll show you some things, and you'll go long and hard. I challenge you, check my facts out. Find out if I'm right, if you doubt me. I'm not here to scare anyone. Boys and girls, teenagers, may I say something? As long as you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing to be afraid of. Folks, may I say this? I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I know that sounds kind of funny. I remember the day, especially when I was engaged to my wife. Lord, don't come back yet. Okay, I remember those days. Sitting in Bible college and some preacher would get up, "Lord's coming back soon." I'm thinking, man, can I wait till after June 24th? I was wanting to get married that year. Amen, Brother Gus. And I understand that. But the older I get, no comments, and the longer I live, the more I'm looking up and not looking at the grave. And I really want you to listen tonight. I don't want anybody to be afraid. Folks, it's going to happen so fast, you won't know it happened till it's over. You won't know what happened till it's over. But let me give you a few things. I don't want anybody to be afraid. I really think you're going to walk out encouraged, not discouraged. But I want you to have your lamps trimmed, filled with oil, and ready. Amen? I want you to be ready for when Jesus comes back. Because you know what? If he comes back and you're not ready, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. This world cannot last long. And say that again. Our world cannot last long. We are at the midnight hour. Let me give you, I think I have four, maybe five things tonight, four things tonight. The world is at the midnight hour financially. The world is at the midnight hour financially. We cannot continue to debt spend, support people that do not work, pump money that we do not have into a stock market, and doesn't matter how much of it we print and put in there, and not pay consequences. Did you hear that? The national debt, preacher, $18 trillion. That is not a true fact. Now, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I tried to explain what $18 trillion was. Spending $1 billion a day, it would take about 50 years at $1 billion an hour to pay off $18 trillion. If you look it up, this is going to shock you. America, right now, just America, is between $220 and $250 trillion in debt. Look it up, and you can Google it. You can look up something called real national debt. See, the one is just what we spend over budget. It doesn't take into effect that there are two banking systems, Chase and I forget what the other bank, it's Wells Fargo. Those two banks alone are over $200 trillion in debt to the United States government. The savings and loan crashes of the 90s and just a few years ago, we bought all that debt. We assumed all that debt. Everybody doing all right? Do you know what the world global economy is? The entire world makes about $70 trillion a year. United States debt is more than three times the total income of the world for 3 years. The stock market, oh, it's going up, it's going up. Did you know that for the last 5 years, your president has allowed the Federal Reserve to print enough money to inflate the stock market at the rate of $100 million a day? Isn't it funny we had the marches on Wall Street? How bad everything is with the stock market? Everybody doing all right? Credit card debt, deficit spending is in bigger proportion than it's ever been in the history of the world. We are headed for a depression that will make the depression of the 1930s look like prosperity. It took America 200 years to go $1 trillion in debt. It's taken us less than 20 years to go the other 219 trillion plus in debt. We cannot support millions of illegal aliens, pay bills for illegitimate births, support people who do not work, and support people who will not work, and have what we call a social welfare mentality and last financially. It will not happen. By the way, we have created a government that has created a society that is now dependent on government. Now, we have a government that forces a 17-year-old girl in the state of Connecticut to take chemotherapy for cancer when she and her family do not want it. They've taken custody of the child. In 6 months, she'll be 18 and can make her own decision. They said she's not wise enough to make her own decision. But she could go out and get pregnant, have an abortion, and never tell her mom and dad. Everybody doing all right? I'm here to tell you, if Jesus doesn't come back, if this thing crashes, we're going to see riots like we have never seen before ever in the world. It's going to be, you take every, well, the unemployment rate's down to 5.6%. If you listen to it right now, our unemployment rate's about 16, 18%. There's about 12% of our country that's not even looking for a job. Then you add to that everybody that's on welfare, it's up over 40%. And that doesn't include all the new illegals, the 5 million illegals that the president's bringing in by airplane that we're paying for. We are now making shuttle flights to all the third world countries other than Mexico in Central America and Northern Southern South America to bring as many illegals across as want to come, and we are paying for them to fly into America. America is at the midnight hour financially. I've said this for years. I'm not afraid of it. There's only one way that the Antichrist can set up a one-world government and a one-world currency. The entire world has to bankrupt. And we are hearing more and more the term global bankruptcy. We are at the verge of global bankruptcy. Well, China owns our debt. China couldn't even call our debt in. If we paid it, nobody else could buy anything, and there's no way it can be paid, and who's paying China's debt? Because they're in as bad a debt as we are. Everybody doing all right? Number two. Number one, it's midnight hour financially. Number two, it's midnight medically. We are at the midnight hour medically. AIDS used to be something feared. Now it's something that we don't even talk about anymore. And yet, millions and millions and millions of people die of AIDS every year. The immorality, the drug use, the vile, immoral society that we live in, AIDS is a plague that the world does not want to talk about anymore. We have no cure for it. Now, we have Ebola. By the way, what sense does it make for a government to say, oh, we shouldn't cut those countries off and have no flying in and out of that country? That could make it spread further. Now, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? We won't put a restriction on flights in and out of North African and Central African countries that have Ebola, but we can't walk into the nursing homes without wearing masks at flu season. Everybody doing all right? New strains of flu virus. Y'all know what that's like, amen? We live, and let me be just very honest with you. I think it's funny, they want to call alcoholism a disease. Well, that's the only disease that you pour down your throat. Anybody drink cancer lately? Anybody drink the flu lately? Anybody drink Ebola lately? Alcoholism is sin, it's not a disease. The government's making billions of dollars off of it. That's why they decided after all these years to go ahead and legalize marijuana, because they know they can make money off of it. Meth, heroin. And do you know what the government's answer to help meth addicts is? Give them more meth. How many of you have ever heard of a methadone clinic? Okay. Do you know what the first four letters of methadone is? The government, your tax dollar, pays for the government to take methamphetamines, give it to meth addicts, and try to wean them off their meth. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I'm just here to tell you, Obamacare is the government trying to tell you what you can and cannot do medically. Period. End of discussion. I don't care if Obama's name's attached, Hillary's name's attached, or George Bush, or this Bush. World or government-controlled health care is not the answer. Anything the government usually touches ends up worse. Why in the world do we want to give the IRS more control? By the way, they are taking people's children away if you don't agree medically. That was Brother Ron's. I know that one. It's your wife calling. No. Anyway. Folks, they are taking people's children away. In Boston, Massachusetts, just in the last year, young lady has had a very long-term illness. Her family knew about it. The doctors did not agree with her. The state took control over, and she was pulled away from her family for almost 2 years, had to go through the Supreme Court, past the state Supreme Court, before they finally, the hospital in Boston finally acknowledged the fact that they had made a mistake. The 17-year-old girl, I think Connecticut, with the chemotherapy and Hodgkin's disease. The government has taken her out of the home and taken control of her because she did not want to take chemotherapy. Y'all laugh at me when I say, I obey the seatbelt law, but I hate it. Government has no right to tell anybody they have to wear a seatbelt. It's an invasion of freedom. My not wearing a seatbelt is not infringing on anybody else's freedom. But you tell me that I have to do something with my children medically, and you and I are going to go to town on that one. If I want to give them an aspirin, and the government says, I can't, that means the government can come in and say, you're harming your child, we're taking them away. Or if I don't want to give them an aspirin, well, let me rephrase that. You don't want to give them an aspirin, and you want them eating tree bark and drink pond water instead. Amen? I'm not against, you know, natural or medicine, okay? We've talked about that before. You do as you like. I have no problem either way. I just don't want you criticizing each other if you don't agree. But may I say this very carefully? If you don't agree with the government, they have the right now to come in and take your children away from you. Moving on. We're at the midnight hour financially. We're at the midnight hour medically. We're at the midnight hour politically and militarily. We are letting tyrannous little dictators, terrorists, and little nations push us around. Our president, our vice president, and our politicians travel the world apologizing to the world for our success. And I'm against it. Iran is within that far of having the ability to have nuclear weaponry if they don't have it already. North Korea is that close from having nuclear capability and nuclear bomb capability. ISIS attacked Paris this week, radical Muslims attacked Paris this week, killing dozens of people, slaughtering people. Listen to this. Howard Dean, chairman of the Democratic Party in the United States, the president and the vice president were unwilling to say that it was a terrorist attack. Hello. Our politicians are more worried about re-election than they are doing what they're supposed to do by being elected. I'm just going to say this. We have allowed career politicians too long. You solve the power problem by putting term limits on it. Leave every political office from town, city, county, all the way up to the Supreme Court needs term limits. Too much power leads to too much corruption. Politics was never intended to be a career. It was supposed to be service, not career. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Good night, President Bush. We were attacked. They flew planes into our buildings. They killed our people by the thousands. We sent our troops across the seas, and we had parents marching in the streets. We didn't let our kids join the military to go fight. We can let them join the military to get a college education. Wait a minute. Military. Soldier. Do you know what a soldier does? He fights. He trains to kill. And when there's problems, he goes and does it. Is that not what it's for? I met up with one of those yardbirds one day. She was all upset. And so was her sissy britches husband. Well, we didn't let our son join the military to go fight. I said, let me ask you a question. What's an army for? Well, it's for, I said, fighting? Well, not for our son. I said, you shouldn't have let him sign up then. I said, folks, the reason we have a military is to go beat up on some of these dictators. By the way, I'm not a I'm not a violent person, usually. I'm not. But you don't have peace unless somebody's strong enough to have it. Kim Jong-un has no business telling our people what to do or our government. By the way, that's North Korea. About 10, 15 years ago, we were all upset at France for not backing us after 9-1-1. Remember? We quit calling them French fries and called them freedom fries. Because we was upset at the Fruit Loopy Frenchies that wouldn't back us. They had over 1 million people at a rally in Paris today, and over 3 million people in the streets protesting the Muslims in France. Where's that at in America? No, we'll let people drive their dump trucks over police cars, walk up behind police officers and shoot them in cold-blooded murder, and it's okay. Everybody doing all right? We have no business doing any kind of friendly business with the Castro boys in Cuba. We need to throw them in Gitmo and do a little bit more waterboarding, amen? And I'm ranting for a second. There's no such thing as a communist friend. Everybody doing all right? Russia is not our friend. Putin is not a good man. The Muslim religion is not a peaceful religion. You can say what you want, but I know what I'm talking about. It's midnight, militarily and politically. Number next. By the way, the politicians don't have the answers. Most of them don't even know what the question is. It's midnight morally. It's midnight financially, medically, militarily and politically. And fourthly, it's midnight morally. Sodomites make up less than 4% of America, but now the sodomites run America. I am not for, listen to this, anybody being unkind, being violent towards any person just because of who or what they want to do. But I'm not afraid to call sodomy sin because that's what God calls it. You go to Romans chapter 1 and find out it's the bottom of God's scum bucket. I'll give them the gospel. By the way, just so you know, I've won 8 of them to Christ. They're the hardest people in all the world to win to Christ. They are in total rebellion against God. Everybody doing all right? The sodomites run the streets like dogs, and I'll take the dogs. They teach in our schools, but we can't take the King James Bible in there and teach that. That would be offensive. Well, maybe you need to change what you are and quit being offended by the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's amazing how everybody has freedoms except those that believe right. Gambling has become a way of life. Folks, did you know it used to be illegal to gamble? And it didn't matter if it was government backed. Didn't matter if it was at the 7-Eleven or the Catholic Church, it was still illegal. By the way, bingo at the Catholic Church is still gambling. If you play bingo at the Baptist Church and people are making money on it, it's gambling and it's wrong. Anybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. This is one of those shotgun sermons, Brother Hawkins. Yeah, buddy. We live in a sexually perverted society and we teach it as acceptable. Sodomy is not an alternative lifestyle. It is a death style and it is anti-God. And listen to me very carefully. For the last 20 plus years, we've been teaching sex education from kindergarten all the way up. We now have nurseries in high schools to take care of the children that are supposed to be going to high school. Used to be a young lady that got pregnant that was not married, it was considered a shame. By the way, it still is. You're old-fashioned. Thank you very much. Nudity, pornography, vileness fill our society. Hollywood thinks the more clothes you take off, the more popular you are. You go to the... I can preach this. It was 9 degrees this morning. Most people aren't running around town in their bathing suit right now. If we asked you to strip down to your underwear and go to the store and walk around town in your underwear, you would be offended. But go ahead and paint it all different kinds of colors and put the designs on it, dig a hole, put water in it, put sand around it, and it's okay. We call it the beach. What's the difference? Everybody doing all right? Folks, God made it for you to cover your body. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when man sinned. Man discovered that he was naked. The Bible says he made aprons of fig leaves. Aprons don't cover very much. When God came down, discovered what they had done, God knew. He cornered man. The Bible says that God killed animals and made them coats. There's a difference between a coat and an apron. Everybody know what I'm talking about? My long trench coat goes down below my knees. You know why? Because it keeps me warm. It keeps me covered. I'm even wearing a hat now, so I keep my head dry and warm. Amen? Never thought I'd ever say that. Used to laugh at all these old preachers wearing hats everywhere. Now I know why. And after walking pneumonia for 3 weeks, I got tired of it. One of my snotty friends that I've known for about 35 years said, "Oh, you can teach old dogs new tricks." Well, her birthday is next Saturday. But I said, "No, it's not old dog new trick. It's old dog old trick." She laughed. Yeah, but her birthday's before mine, and she's older than me this year. Amen? All right. Now, wait a minute. You know, you can't look at any advertisement just about and it not be filled with nudity. It's sick. As I reared my children, I taught my boys, don't look at the billboards. Most billboards are filthy. You got to be careful even browsing the newspaper. Anybody in this room over the age of 60, you will agree with this statement. The average newspaper has more nudity in it today than Playboy did 60 years ago. The underwear ads in the average newspaper contain more nudity than the smutty magazines did 50, 60, 70 years ago. Desi and Lucy used to not even be able to sleep in the same bed on television. Or Ricky and Lucy, whoever it was. I don't remember. Ricky, that's it. I knew something didn't come out quite right there. I had people going... Can I tell you something? Now look at what happens on television. Matter of fact, don't look at it. We are at the midnight hour morally. I'm 47 years old. I still believe in answering yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I get sick and tired of a generation. Yeah, yeah, no. Mm-mm, not around me. You let your children do it, that's fine. But around the preacher, I'm going to say, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's yes, sir, no, sir, not yeah or no. Say why? Because I believe in respect. What's happened to our society? No wonder people can march the streets, kill each other. A man in Tampa, Florida, this week was being chased by the police, stopped on the bridge, took his 5-year-old daughter out and threw over the bridge into the river and killed her. We have no respect for life. None. We've aborted millions and millions and millions over 30, 5 million babies aborted legally in America since early 1970s. We have no respect for life. Everybody doing all right? What can we do to stop it? Nothing. Nothing. We might be able to slow it down. Say how? Well, first of all, we got to get out and tell everybody else how to get saved. We've got to get them under the truth and the preaching of the Word of God so that they can have their life changed. You realize most of those people have never heard the truth once in their life? They would look at me like some foreign person. They'd look at me like I had three eyeballs. I don't believe in evolution. There's nothing to substantiate it. But they'd look at me like some what they would call a Neanderthal man. Ladies, I'm sorry, but sometimes it's the ladies with a bad attitude. I had a lady come to me one time. She said, "Don't you realize we are in the 21st century? You preach like some old person." I said, "I'm glad you know what century you were in. Maybe you could come back to the next service and tell me what year it is." She didn't like that. I didn't care. I didn't like her attitude. Folks, right is still right. I don't care what the year on the calendar is. Wrong is still wrong. I don't care what the year on the calendar is. We are to go out, tell everybody how to be saved. We're to get busy at church, bringing folks to church, getting them under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, get their lives changed, and we can clean up this country a little bit. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is God's plan. Is it going to stop? No, but we might be able to slow it down just a little bit. It's midnight. Let me ask you a question. Is your lamp trimmed? Is it full of oil? Are you ready to go? I am. I believe most here are, but I'm here to shout. There's a lot of churches don't even have their doors open tonight, and they're not ready to go. And we can't get anybody to come back Sunday night or Wednesday night, so we just won't have that service anymore. Bless God, if nobody shows up, I'd say the problem is not the church members, it's the preacher who's not on fire for God. Well, we just live in such a fast-paced society, and people don't have time for God anymore. Well, I don't have time for that kind of stuff either. But when you get too busy for God, you're too busy. Bless God, you need a man of God to get up and preach the Word of God and preach a snot out of you. By the way, he's preaching a snot out of himself if he's doing it right. I stand before you convicted. I'm as guilty as everybody else. It's time for us to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm not ashamed of him, are you? It's amazing. I walk into Sheets, and somebody will say, "Oop!" About 5:30 in the morning. "Preacher's here. Stop that." Man, they know me down here. Trust me. They had a new employee in there recently. And I noticed the scurrying. I said, "What's going on?" They said, "Oh, we're just letting them know who you are." I said, "Why?" "They got a bad mouth. They don't need to talk around you." I was laughing. I mean, it's 5:45 in the morning. I was belly laughing. I didn't say a word. Not one. Can I tell you something? I can go to an airport, open up my Bible, and it's amazing how fast I can get a seat. They don't want to sit anywhere near me. I don't do it for that. I'm working. I have people walk up. "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah, are you?" "No." "Well, you could be. You want to sit down and talk about it?" "No." He said, "Doesn't that bother you?" "No, it bothers them, not me." I was at the store the other day. I forgot to tell my secretary this. I was doing something for the church. And this lady walked up. She said, "Sir, do you know where I can find?" I said, No, but hang on. You stay right here. I'll go find it. She said, you don't work here? I said, no, ma'am, I don't. I said, but hang on. You stay right here. Let me go find it for you. I went, found it for her. I said, follow me. I took her over there. She said, I don't believe you don't work here. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. She said, oh. I said, now, wait a minute. You were excited a little while ago. That didn't sound so excited. And she put her head down. I said, I did take a shower this morning. And she started to laugh. She said, I haven't met one like you before. I said, oh, I get that a lot. Trust me. Folks, we don't have to be ashamed of it. I was at Home Depot the other day. I bought something. Bought me a big wood rack, Brother Gus. I'm tired of filling a stupid wood box in my house that's about 2 foot by 3 foot. I got me a big one. 2 foot by 4 foot by 5 foot. Man, I can get wagon load after I loaded that thing. I do not have to go get wood out behind my house for a long time. The guy was up there. He said, boy, you're dressed nice. I said, well, let me help you get that done. He said, no, you're dressed too nice. I said, hey, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm used to this. You're a Baptist preacher? I thought, man, I know I shouldn't have said that. I said, yeah. He said, what church? I reached in my pocket, gave him a gospel tract. He said, your people have knocked on my door. I've gotten 3 of these already. He said, is that you? I said, that's me. We started talking. He's planning on visiting our church. Can I tell you something? I'm not ashamed of it. Are you? Good night. We're at the midnight hour. We ought to be telling everybody. Do you know when I got married, I didn't hide it? I wasn't ashamed of it. Guess what? I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed. How about you? And Jesus is coming back. And these are the signs. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not wanting to discourage, actually wanting to encourage. Some of you, if you don't look at it the right way, will be discouraged, though. I think we ought to be excited. Somewhere, tucked away in this message, there's a little conviction, though. Who's going to die and go to hell because we don't tell them? Who will be left behind because we don't tell them? Maybe there's somebody here and you don't know for sure you're saved. You don't know for sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. People will use this altar to pray. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you just walk an aisle. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. You don't have to walk out those doors unsure, and you can be on your way. And when Jesus comes back, you'll go with him. But I wonder, has it moved you enough to where you'd tell somebody else about him?